He sent ships and soldiers to Charleston and ordered the collector of that port to collect the duties. He then asked Congress to give him greater power, and Congress passed the force bill, giving him the power he asked for. The South Carolinians, on their part, suspended the nullification ordinance and thus avoided an armed conflict with Old Hickory, as his admirers call Jackson. 307. The Compromise Tariff, 1833. The nullifiers really gained a part of the battle, for the tariff law of 1832 was repealed. In its place, Congress passed what was called the Compromise Tariff. This compromise was the work of Henry Clay, the peacemaker. Under it, the duties were to be gradually lowered until, in 1842, they would be as low as they were by the Tariff Act of 1816. 308. The Second United States Bank. Nowadays, anyone with enough money can open a national bank under the protection of the government at Washington. At this time, however, there was one great United States bank. Its headquarters were at Philadelphia, and it had branches all over the country. Jackson, like Jefferson, had very grave doubts as to the power of the national government to establish such a bank. Its size and prosperity alarmed him. Moreover, the stockholders and managers, for the most part, were his political opponents. The United States Bank also interfered seriously with the operations of the state banks, some of which were managed by Jackson's friends. The latter urged him on to destroy the United States Bank, and he determined to destroy it.